Father, we come before you this morning, Lord, and Father, we do worship your name and your name only, Father. We ask now that the Holy Spirit just do a wondrous work in each one of us, Lord, that we open up our hearts and our minds to receive the message that you want to bring us, Lord, and that we walk out of here strengthened and encouraged and lifted up because you are God Almighty. And we pray this now in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Thank you, worship team. Good morning. What a beautiful day we have out there, huh? You know, it's amazing that Pastor Clay started the marriage, an example of the marriage thing this morning, because yesterday we had an opportunity to celebrate my mom and dad's 65th wedding anniversary. Mom is 86 and dad's 88, and I'm tired. I didn't know they could keep going that long. But we had some mariachis out there for them and all this and that. It was awesome. I have relatives in town from out of state and from back in the hood where I grew up. And I'm kind of afraid of what they're going to go back home because they know what I was like then. And now I'm standing before you getting ready to teach God's word. So, whew. So can we bring up that John 8:36, please? You know, normally next door when I teach you adult study, I usually don't title too many of the messages. But today, if we did title a message, it would be called Lies, Labels, or Freedom. Because John 8:36 tells us, therefore, if the Son makes you free, you shall be free indeed. Isn't it awesome that we live in a country that we can freely, right now, praise and worship our Lord? In a country that in a couple of weeks we get to determine who is going to run this country. And we need to, sidebar, go out and vote. Pray about it, vote. Don't just say, oh well. No, go out and make your selection. Okay? But we have the authority to, in this country, to be free like that. So my question to you is, are you living like you're free? Are you living like you're free in this country? Not just physically, not just emotionally, but spiritually. Are you living the way the Lord wants you to live? Are you believing and enjoying the blessings of Almighty God? Or are you struggling with that freedom? Again, John 8:36, therefore, if the Son makes you free, you shall be free indeed. That's it. Do we believe the lies and the labels that this world wants to put on us? When I was talking about first coming up with this message, I thought about Bill and Diane, and they teach a prison ministry here. And I was wondering if I was teaching them, if I was in there trying to teach them on this verse, how would they handle it? How would they imagine it? Because most of them know that they are there for some reason or another. Some reason that they violated the law. That's why their freedom is gone from them. But what about you and I? We know God's word. Is this God's truth? Is there any question that there is any mistakes in this book? Church. Is there any mistakes in this book? Is this God's truth? So we are free indeed. So are we living like we are free? Are we living like we are free spiritually? Even though the Lord has told us that for one day, for one hour, we can live like that, and then we fall back under the bondage of slavery, of sin. There's a gentleman, his name was Solomon Northup, back in the 1800s. He was a black man born to black parents, obviously, in the state of New York. They were free. He was born free. He was a musician, part-time. He went down to Washington, D.C. to do a concert in Washington, D.C., where slavery was legal. While in Washington, D.C., he was captured. He was kidnapped. And he was sent to New Orleans. 12 years he lived as a slave. 12 years before he ran into a couple from Canada, and on their way back, let the people know in New York where he was, and eventually he was freed. And he wrote that book, 12 Years a Slave. But what about you and I? Do we forget that Christ has set us free? Do we return back to the guilt and the shame of sin? Are we living free? Because that's what we're going to talk about today. The freedom that we have in Jesus Christ. Amen, amen. The freedom that we have in Jesus Christ. Now, because of the length of the thing, my 22 pages got cut down to 8, so. But why can't we not live the way God has intended us to live? Why is it such a struggle for each one of us to embrace and enjoy the freedom that Jesus has given us? To not live with that guilt and that shame that hangs over us, that we tell ourselves, that other people tell us. Why is it so difficult? Let's turn to Colossians chapter 3. Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead, Colossians chapter 3. And we're going to pick up in verse 15. Are we there? All right. Verse 15. This is how the Lord wants us to live. He says, "And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which also you were called in one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and in hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him." Only God can provide that peace that he talks about in verse 15. Only God, only our Lord and Savior gives us that peace. We've taught on that before. The peace of God. But how do we have that peace of God? Well, you look at verse 16. By allowing the word of Christ to dwell in you richly. So that you know that you have that peace in your heart because God's word filled your heart. Because the Holy Spirit does an awesome work in each one of you. And you have peace. No matter what the world is bringing you, you have the peace in your heart. And verse 17. And whatever you do, how are you living? What's in your heart? Not just what do people see on Sunday morning, and then on during Monday through Saturday, you live like hell. But how do you live when you're by yourself? What's going on in your heart? And whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him. Because in these verses, the peace of God, where it talks about in 15, and rules your heart, this is what it's all about. This covers every aspect of our life. These three verses. What rules in your heart? How do you feel? What's your emotions? The word of Christ in verse 16 dwells richly in you. What are you thinking? What's on your mind? And finally, verse 17, whatever you do in word or in deed, what actions are you taking? Are you being Christ-like? Or are you being world-like? Or are you being Gilbert-like? Put your own name in there. We are called to be like Jesus. Are we being like Jesus? So again, I ask, what prevents us from living like this day to day? God's word's already set us free. These verses here tells us that we have that freedom. So what prevents us from living like that? Because we have, again, we wear the labels and we believe the lies that the world tells us. Because we wear the labels and we believe the lies that we tell ourselves. And because we believe the lies and we wear the labels that the enemy tells us instead of trusting our Lord. So what about those labels that we hear from other people? Those are probably the labels that affected us most when we were younger. You know? As kids, we were called to act a certain way. We were called to do this, to do that. And if we didn't, You were incorrigible. Labels were attached to you. You were delinquent. Those of you back in the day, remember the words, delinquent? You weren't cool. Well, you're just a young lady. But back in the day, in school, the young people today, the peer pressure that they have on them to be cool, to be like everybody else. And if you're not, a label's attached to you. If you want to do what is right in today's world, a label's put on you. If you want to do what's morally correct, you're a Jesus freak. You're a Bible thumper. It doesn't, hallelujah is right. If you're known as a Bible thumper, praise the Lord. If they know you as that. But those are the lies that other people tell us, okay? That peer pressure. You had, what were your parents like? Did they encourage you? Did they lift you up all the time? Or did they bring you down? What about that aunt, that uncle that you had that said, you're never going to amount to anything. Look at you. I can't believe your mom and dad deal with you. But those are labels that we got as young kids. Again, we were expected to act a certain way. People don't get to take the time to know us. You meet someone, you judge someone. They don't take the time to get to know you. Your coworkers, they can get jealous about what happens to you and not to them. And right away, the lies and the labels start. Oh, well, she must have been sleeping with him. Or, in today's world, he must have been sleeping with him. It could, this world is, labels are attached. Okay? The thing is we attach those labels too. Okay? Church, what color hair is supposed to have more fun? Blondes. That's a label. Okay? But what color hair is supposed to be more lost in space? Blondes. Okay? But those are labels that are attached. I didn't say them. I didn't start that. But those are labels that we have. Okay? But they're there. Those are labels that are attached. What about that person that when you were as a child that may have abused you? Whether it was physical, whether it was sexual, whether it was mental, but abused you as a child and told you things like, you are never going to amount to anything. Nobody's going to want you anymore. You're not clean. Nobody. You're good for nothing. This is all you're good for, is that whatever type of abuse he or she wanted to give to you. And that happened as a child, and those labels are still running around with you. And if that's not enough, then we have to deal with the labels that we tell ourselves. Then we have to deal with the labels that we put on ourselves. Let's turn to Numbers chapter 13. Numbers chapter 13, and we're going to pick up in verse 26 and just read 8 verses. Are we there? All right, Numbers 13, 26 says, now they departed and came back to Moses and Aaron and all the congregation of the children of Israel in the wilderness of Paran at Kadesh. They brought back word to them and to all the congregation, and showed them the fruit of the land. Then they told him and said, we went to the land where you sent us, and it truly flows with milk and honey, and this is its fruit. Nevertheless, the people who dwell in the land are strong. The cities are fortified and very large. Moreover, we saw the descendants of Anak there. The Amalekites dwell in the land of the south. The Hittites and the Jebusites and the Amorites dwell in the mountains, and the Canaanites dwell by the sea and along the banks of the Jordan. Then Caleb quieted the people before Moses and said, let us go up at once and take possession, for we are well able to overcome it. But the men who had gone up with him said, we are not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we. And they gave the children of Israel a bad report of the land which they had spied out, saying, The land through which we have gone as spies is a land that devours its inhabitants, and all the people whom we saw in it are men of great stature. There we saw the giants, the descendants of Anak, came from the giants, and we were like grasshoppers in our own sight, and so we were in their sight. So these people saw the fruit. They saw, they heard and saw the land and how good it was. They had the promises of God that they could take the land. And yet, they refused to step out. They refused to believe. For the people came up with all kinds of excuses. But what about? And we got to watch out for. The cities are fortified. So when the Lord asks you to do something, what kind of excuses do you come up with? What kind of lies do you have to tell yourself so that you don't have to do what the Lord asks you to do? What kind of labels do you put out there so that you don't have to go in that direction where the Lord says, you will make it. I promise you that. But what stops us? Bless you. What stops us? Again, they saw the fruit. They were able to touch it. They were able to hold it. And yet they refused to go. The people were powerful. The cities are huge and fortified. They're giants. They were doubting their own self-worth. They were doubting the word of God and not believing his promise. Why don't we believe the word of God? I just asked you earlier if this was truth. And we know it is. You know, do we believe like Caleb? Do we believe like Caleb, or are we like the Israelites? Are we full of those excuses? Are we casting doubt everywhere? Are we fearful of stepping out in faith? Because that's what's happening here. These labels that we attach to one another, the labels that we attach to ourselves, how many times have we heard, you're not smart enough? You're too dumb. I'm going to put these labels. Because we put them there ourselves. You're too fat. For me, I'm too short. Okay? Too young. Okay? We're too old. I won't mention no names. As a child, you're worthless. You're nothing. You're ugly. All these labels get attached to us. You're too skinny? No. That ain't never happened to me, so we. But these are the labels that we put on ourselves. These are the labels that we believe from other people. And the longer we leave these labels on us, what do people see? They see these labels. The longer we see these labels on us, this is what we begin to believe. If someone walked in the door right now and saw me up here with all these labels, what do you think they'd label this church? But that's what people believe. That's how people see us. Because we're not like the Caleb all the time. When we need to be, because God's word promises us that. But is this what God wants you to see? Is this what God wants you to believe? No. These are not the labels that God sees in each one of us. These are not the labels that God sees and knows what's inside of each one of us. That's not Him. This is what God sees. Let me remind you what God sees in you. He sees in you that you are fearfully and wonderfully made. He sees in you that you are made in His image. He sees in you that you are valuable to Him. He sees in you that you are an incredible work of art. And He sees in you, even though He knows you, He loves you. He sees you as the person that He accepts. He sees you and He approves of you. He sees you and He says, you are mine. And you belong to me. Hallelujah for that. So, do we believe these labels? Do we believe the lies that we tell ourselves? Do we believe the lies that other people tell us? Or do we believe God? Do we believe God? So, maybe you didn't put all those labels there. Maybe you didn't tell all those lies to yourself. But if you continue to wear them, it's your choice. It is your choice. Just like the, like we talked about the prison ministry. The inmates make a choice whether or not they're going to wear an inmate shirt, property of DOC, for 4 months, 4 years, or life, because of the choices they make. What about you? What are you and I going to do? As believers, as followers of Jesus Christ, what are we going to do? We need to acknowledge the things that do apply. Okay? Somewhere down the line, something applies to us. But we need to acknowledge that and turn it over to our Lord and let Him deal with it. Okay? And trust His promises. Trust His word. And then the things that are not true, the lies that the enemy has told us, the lies that we have told ourselves, we need to reject them. We need to reject them as lies from the pit of hell. And we need to live free and live without guilt and live without shame and live the way our Lord wants us to live. In freedom. Amen? Because once we remove these labels, once these labels are gone, once we acknowledge the lies, then we can be the person that God wants us to be. We can be used by God Almighty. We can do marvelous things by God Almighty. In the story that we went about Caleb and Joshua, there was 12 of them that went there. 12. What names were mentioned? Caleb and Joshua. The other 10 men are not acknowledged because they did not obey the word of God. Because they were not faithful in trusting God. But the two names, that the two men that followed God, their name's going to be in the book of life for eternity. It's in this book we're always going to read about it. Generations to come are going to read about Caleb and Joseph and know nothing about the 10 men who did not believe God. So, once these labels are gone, once we get rid of these lies, then we can be the person again God wants us to be. Not the person that everyone else expects us to be, but the person that God wants us to be, and we can do a marvelous work from Him. Now, what about those lies? What about those labels from the enemy? How do we deal with them? Because you know that enemy is never going to stop. And he's been doing this an awful long time. I was talking to a brother this morning, and he's talking about the struggles that are going on. Little things that the enemy is bringing before him. And it's not nothing major. It doesn't have to be. There's the enemy will whisper those lies to you about the things that have happened in the past, years ago. The enemy is going to whisper to you nothing but discouragement about when you stumble again and again, because we are all going to stumble again. Last week, a week ago Thursday, I was talking to a brother on the phone, and I was all excited because I was like, you know what, I'm going to teach on labels and lies, on being free in the Word of God. I'm talking to a brother on the phone driving home from work, and there's a SUV next to me in the HOV lane, and she decides she wants to take my space. And so here she comes, right over. And I hit the horn and swerved to the right. And it was like slow. You know how it is in slow motion? Everything seems to slow down. And finally she's like, you know. Here I am talking to another brother about what I'm going to be teaching on and the freedom that we have in Jesus Christ. And not out of my mouth, but in my mind, a string of vulgarities went. The enemy is going to use anything and everything to get your mind off of Jesus Christ. He is going to try to turn you away from all that. He is going to accuse you of everything and anything to separate you from God. He is the great deceiver. He's going to make you remember stuff that you thought was gone from years ago, and you're going to remember it. But that's the way He works. He's going to remind you that you are nothing but a sinner. How can God love you if you are just a sinner? There's no way God could love you for what you've done. Ladies, if you've ever had an abortion in the past and the enemy keeps whispering that to you about what you've done, and I can't believe you did this, and now you want to praise God, now you want to worship God after what you did to that child, that is a lie straight from the pit of hell. You have been forgiven. Gentlemen, if you went with your wife, girlfriend, or you paid for that, and you are feeling guilt and shame from that, that is a lie from the pit of hell. You have been forgiven. God loves you, and He is not going to hold that against you. He wants to question your salvation because you keep falling back to that gambling addiction, because you keep falling back to that pornography, because you keep falling back to that alcohol, to those drugs. You can't really be saved. That's the enemy whispering to you. You are saved, and the Lord is never going to let you go. Never. He has got a grip on you that the enemy cannot let grab a hold of. And you know that these labels and these lies from other people and from ourselves, they can be dangerous. But the ones from the enemy that we allow to come to us and hang on, and we live in that guilt, that shame, and that bondage of sin, those are the ones that are going to destroy your walk. Those are the ones that are going to prevent you from living free. Church, how can we have the peace of Christ? How can we have the peace of Christ if we, in our hearts, if we let Satan in our ear? If we let Satan in our ear, so how are we going to handle this? When the enemy comes at us, how are we going to handle this? Well, God's word is going to tell us. Let's turn to 1 Samuel. 1 Samuel 17. You there? All right. So, 1 Samuel 17, and we'll pick up in verse 43. It's a familiar story. 43 says, so the Philistine, we're talking about Goliath, so the Philistine said to David, am I a dog that you come to me with sticks? Because back in the day, if you remember, a dog was considered insignificant. And the shepherd always had his stick to either beat the dog away or literally kill the dog. And so Goliath is saying, am I so insignificant that you come at me with a stick? And the Philistine cursed David by his gods. And the Philistine said to David, come to me and I will give your flesh to the birds of the air and the beast of the field. The devil, the enemy, the giants before you, he wants to mock you. He wants to tell you you're worthless. And the only weapon so far that he has used, even though he came to David with a sword and a shield, a spear, a helmet, the only weapon he's used so far is his voice, that whisper. You're worthless. You're nothing. The devil wants you to believe that you are worthless, that there is nothing good about you. He does not want you to succeed in your walk with Jesus Christ. But let's read what David's response is. Verse 45. Then David said to the Philistine, you come to me with a sword, with a spear, with a javelin, but I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied. This day the Lord will deliver you into my hand, and I will strike you and take your head from you. And this day I will give the carcasses of the camp of the Philistines to the birds of the air and the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel. Amen. So that's his response. David told him, you come to me with all of this, and I come at you in the name of the Lord. The God, the Lord of hosts. Nothing else. You look back and Goliath says, I'm going to do this to you. I'm going to do this to you. And David said, the Lord's going to do this to you. When the enemy comes at you with those past mistakes, the ones that you made 20 years ago, the one that you made 20 minutes ago, when the enemy comes at you with those mistakes, he's trying to separate you from the love of God. But you tell him, the Lord's coming at you. I'm coming at you with the Lord of hosts. Again, he does not want you to succeed. You come at him with your sword, with your weapon. Because when he talks about on verse 46, the Lord is going to deliver you into my hands. The Lord is going to deliver to you into my hand. Because David said, on this day, just like today, whatever giants you're facing, whatever struggles you're going through, David said, on this day, the Lord's going to deliver you. So get rid of those bonds and those chains and those things that are keeping you down. And just like David, on this day, the whole world will know that there is a God in Israel. On this day, break those chains. Let them go. Are we going to be held back and beaten down by the shame and the guilt, by the lies and the labels of the enemy or others? Are we going to believe those? Or are we going to believe the word of God? Because this is not who Christ says you are. We talked about what God sees. Now I'm going to tell you who God says you are. God says you are a child of God. God says you are a friend of mine. God says you are rescued from hell. God says you are redeemed because of what I did. God calls you a saint. Can you imagine that? Family, go home. God calls us saints. Hallelujah. God says you are a new creation in Christ. Hallelujah. God says you have been crucified with Christ. And God says you are free. Free indeed. So let go of those bonds. Don't hold on to them. I'm going to read Galatians 5:1. Galatians 5:1 says, stand fast, therefore, in the liberty by which Christ has made us free. And do not be entangled again with the yoke of bondage. And he's talking about the law and the works that we cannot comply with, that we're always going to fall short of. And Jesus took care of all that on the cross. He said, so don't worry about that. Don't worry about that sin. I have made you free. You are free indeed. So do not become a slave to sin anymore. Do not become entangled by that bondage, by that yoke, by the slavery of sin. So do we believe that? Or do we believe the lies and the labels of the enemy? Do we believe that? How can we? He's been doing it for so long, the enemy. How can we deal with these lies from Satan? How can we know that we believe the Word of God and trust the Word of God? What, again, just like David. Just like David, when the devil whispers in your ear and reminds you what you've done, you tell him, can you put up them last two verses, please, Bonnie? On this day, you remind yourself of who you are in Jesus Christ. And you tell him, but as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God. To those who believe in his name. Hallelujah. When the devil whispers that no one's going to forgive you, no matter what you've done in the past, no matter, again, how long it goes, you tell him, on this day, if I confess my sins, he is faithful and just to forgive me. Forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. All unrighteousness. How awesome is that? So when an enemy comes at you, just like David, David reached in and got his weapon, reached in and pulled out that stone. You and I need to reach into our word and grab our sword. And we need to strengthen our faith. And we need to declare on this day, I'm going to trust God. On this day, I'm going to believe God. On this day, I'm going to follow God. On this day, I'm going to let the world know that there is a God and he is alive and living in me. On this day, I know that I have been forgiven. on this day, I know that I have been set free because of what Jesus Christ did on the cross. I have been washed clean by his blood. That the devil, that death, that hell has no victory over me. Because I am a child of the living God. I am a child of the Lord of Lords and the King of Kings. Amen? When these labels are gone, when we quit believing these lies, only then will we have the peace of God that truly reigns in our hearts. And we can have it so much fulfillment if we just believe the Word. If we just trust in His Word. So, are we going to believe and enjoy the blessings? Or are we going to doubt and miss the blessings? Are we going to live with guilt and shame? Or are we going to embrace the freedom that God has already given us? Because, church, remember, John 8:36. Therefore, if the Son makes you free, you shall be free indeed. Amen? As we get, worship team, you want to go ahead and come back up? As we get ready to close, church, if whatever the enemy is whispering to you, whatever lies someone else has told you, let them go. Call on the name of Jesus and feel those chains just dropping from you. Those bonds that are holding you down, let them go. If you need prayer, come forward and let's pray. Don't go home with those bonds and those chains attached to you. Don't let the enemy whisper. Don't get up. Don't get up. If you need prayer, come forward and let us pray for you. You tell that enemy, on this day, these chains are broke. I am not going to be held under slavery anymore. I am free. So we're going to open the altars up for prayer. Pastor Clay, myself, Andrew will be up front. We'll have an opportunity to pray, and then we'll dismiss in one congregational prayer, and then we'll be dismissed. But if you need prayer, please come forward so that you can know Jesus Christ and you can have the freedom that He and only He can bring to you. Amen? Amen. Heavenly Father, Lord, as we come before your throne today, Lord, we just want to lift up your name again, Lord. We want to have open hearts and open minds to you and you alone, Lord. Father, your word is so powerful. Let it move us, Lord, to know that we are free, that the enemy has nothing on us, that we cannot continue to lie to ourselves, that other people cannot continue to lie to us. But we have that peace in you and you alone, Lord. We have the freedom in you and you alone. And for that we thank you, Lord. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.